Hey.
Where'd he go? Up there he is.
What the hell is that?
Pigs in space.
Actually, it is pigs in space.
It is pigs in space.
It's Angry Birds space.
Angry Birds space. It's the latest craze. It's a
yeah, story. It is.
It's a topic tonight.
That's what I heard about. I have to download that then.
Yeah, it's good. It really is. It's a whole reload. Different game. But let's not talk about it now. Let's wait. Oh, I am recording.
No. Oh, we are recording.
I know, but, yeah. Okay, let's start it then.
No. I got to get a drink.
Well, go get a drink then.
All right, I'll go get a drink.
Hurry up.
All right.
Come on, we got to start this thing.
Jeez.
We know what the pre-roll is for this. Almost live from across the USA, this is Late Night QRM. Your hosts tonight are Josh, Barry J, and Michael, the Virtual Youper. Tonight, Josh visits an Apple store for the very first time. Michael gets his new iPad. And Angry Birds in Space! All that and more on Late Night QRM! And now, digitally gathering at the plush QRM studios in Southwest New Hampshire, here's Josh, Barry J, and Michael!
What's that? Pigs in space?
No.
Or I gotta get it. What? A script on the page may be busy or stop responding. You can end this. Don't ask me again. Don't stop the script.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I was just showing
you my drink of the night. I hate using this thing sometimes.
My drink of the night is Sam Adams Winter
Lager. Actually, my video still hasn't come up yet. Oh, Sam Adams something Winter Lager.
Well, it's slow if you just saw it, because I'm standing here holding it very down nice. Here. And you go, oh, Sam Adams Winter Lager, about 15 minutes after I pulled it away from the camera.
Yeah, I know. I realize that. It's literally that slow, which I actually have a topic on that one, which because Fairpoint had an upgrade to their DSL service.
Oh, really?
And which I figure I'll mention in the show later on.
Yeah, wait, hold it. Oh, we should start this freaking thing.
It works.
Well, put it in the show notes. You know, the thing you never add to.
I'm afraid to open that because it might crash. Aren't you cute for bringing that up?
We should really start. Oh, if I can,
I'm a.
Oh, the eye!
There's so much latency.
I'm gonna have a post roll on this one.
Hello.
Yeah, I might have to start putting a post roll. All right, you ready to start this puppy?
Yeah, why?
Let's go for it.
Okay.
Sure.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Late Night QRM show number 43. From the southwest corner of New Hampshire, I am Barry J. Anytime, guys.
I always go last.
Right now, the sound just dumped out.
That's Josh.
And I'm Michael from the land of Punk's Tony Phil.
Actually, all right, you go. It's okay. My sound keeps stumping out.
Josh is in another galaxy. if you calculate the delay, he's responding to things we said 15 minutes ago. Oh, he left. He's gone.
Oh, jeez.
His video's gone anyway.
Are you there, Josh?
Maybe.
Oh, Josh.
Maybe hangouts with extras is a little too much for him. Oh, wait. way too much. Way too much. Well, it's another Sunday night, and we're here, and in your, where did you say you were? Because you kind of, you're down in the I can talk.
I said I was in the land of Punxsutawney Phil.
That's what, yeah, I couldn't pronounce say that.
If you're talking Groundhog Day.
Yeah, too much Samuel Adams Winter Lager here. Yeah. Trying to.
My hometown here in northern Illinois is where they filmed Groundhog Day, not in Punxsutawney, Philadelphia, or Pennsylvania, wherever that place is.
Pennsylvania.
It was actually filmed in Illinois. Yep. Because my hometown actually looks like it does. So they thought, well, you know, they've got the brick square and everything else. And
yep.
So.
And it's.
I'm in the basement of my mother's house, actually, in my old bedroom.
As he pushes up his little horn-rimmed birth control glasses.
What?
I'm in my mother's basement.
Yeah, well, it's my old bedroom. But it's my new old bedroom because I didn't grow up here. We lived in another house when I was growing up.
Oh, okay. So you were gone, but you came home to visit a lot, so...
Well, I was gone, like, living out west, and I decided it was time to move back to the Midwest, and at the same time that I was moving back to the Midwest, my grandmother decided it was time to move out with my parents from Chicago, and at one time, for a few years, we had three generations under one roof, all adults.
Wow.
It was actually cool. It was a neat experience.
Hmm. Wow.
So, they bought a new house, like, a month before I moved back. I didn't even know where I was going. It's like, I think I know where I'm heading. And this has been the guest bedroom ever since.
So. Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of cool. And you got a great connection tonight. I wish we could say the same thing.
Yeah, I'm on AT&T U-verse. My mom has the full U-verse package of all her programming and everything comes through internet.
Is that like a Verizon's Fios? Is that what U-verse is?
I think it's similar. I don't know if it's fiber all the way to the house, but it's pretty close.
Okay.
She's got her telephone, her all her TV programming. So all the TVs in the house have got their own IP box on top of that.
Yeah.
And then she's got Roku on top of that. Oh, and geez. She watches Netflix on.
Okay. Well,
she's pretty hip. She had Roku before I did.
Wow.
Yeah. Jeez. Actually, I still don't have Roku. She had Roku and Netflix before I did. That's for sure.
Yeah, I'm still toying with the idea of getting an Apple TV. I don't know.
I haven't tried the third generation yet. I did upgrade my second generation.
The only reason I'd get it, though, would be for the AirPlay.
The AirPlay is cool.
And I'd probably do Netflix. But, I had my Xbox on, and I get Netflix through there, and it's got great. It's got a beautiful picture coming from the Xbox. And it's like, I don't really need it. I've got an Xbox, and it's on my Blu-ray also. So
yeah, I've got Netflix in my iPhone, all of my iPads, the Xbox, the Wii, the computers in the house. It's everywhere.
I've got it on the Wii too.
Yeah.
So, matter of fact, I'm thinking about putting the Wii upstairs in the bedroom. Just so we can plug in the Netflix there. Because the high-def TV we have up there is only 720p. And the Wii doesn't do 1080p anyway. So that should be good enough for upstairs. So, well,
does it show that file that you uploaded? Is that done uploading?
I think it's done.
It's not that big. It's 1.7 megabytes.
It's a couple minutes worth of...
It's just audio, right?
Oh, it's got a check mark next to it now. Yeah,
okay.
It's just an MP3.
Okay, cool.
When we get to the topic, you can play it.
Oh, yeah, I just wanted to make sure I was ready for it.
So, while we wait for Josh to come back, hopefully he will.
Yeah.
We should probably start this show.
Did we ever finish introducing ourselves?
I don't know. Well, I think
because Josh dropped out.
Yeah. But it's
awkward pause.
It's Barry J, Michael, and Josh.
Michael on the road.
And Barty was going to join us, but we got an email from him this week that he is back in the hospital. And I'm not sure what's going on there. So hopefully everything's going well, and he'll be joining us next week, I hope. And if you remember from the last podcast, Barty was joining us, and he had just had a kidney transplant, and so
in a remarkably short time.
Yeah, 5 days. He was in the hospital 5 days, but I'm not sure what's going on. But he's back in as of Saturday, anyway, or Friday. I think it was Friday. He's back in the hospital, so hopefully, I'm thinking maybe he came out a little too soon.
I'm kind of thinking the same thing.
Yeah. So, well, I'll move on while we wait for Josh to rejoin us. If you remember, I think last week I was talking about my new home brew at the QRM Breweries here. Last week I said I had some concerns because I wasn't getting bubbling.
Right.
Out the airlock, and so after I called the homebrew place and I consulted a couple guys that are homebrewers at work, and they said, well, it could be you have a leak around the cap, or the cap on the tub there, or it could be bad yeast. So the guys at the homebrewery store said, well, you could get another package of yeast and go ahead and pop the lid. And I said, that won't hurt anything. It's no, if you don't leave it open wide for a long time, you pop it open, throw the yeast in, and seal it back up again, you should be okay. And he said, well, if you've got any kind of foam on the top, that means that the yeast you had in there originally is working, but it just might be slow. And pretty much everybody agreed that I may have cooled the wort, whatever it's called, down a little too much, and I probably shocked the yeast. So my lovely wife went into Keene. She was in Keene, and that's where the store is, and so she picked up another thing of yeast. This time I got liquid yeast, and it comes in a package, and it's got another nutrient package in it. So what you do is you bang on it, basically, and pop the inner capsule and wait a couple hours, and then the bag begins to fill up, and that way you know that the yeast is active and working. So I did that, and then I came in and I popped the lid, and I was happy to see I had foam on top. So that means that the other yeast was working. It may not have been working well enough. So since I did all this with the other yeast, I threw it in anyway, closed it back up, and I can say that by morning I had bubbles coming out the lock, so in the airlock, and I've had air bubbles came out the airlock for about 3 days, 4 days. Now it's slowed down. I mean, it's maybe bubbling now, but it's very, very slow, which is right on target of the way it's supposed to work. So I'm hoping that the brew's going to come out okay now.
Cool.
So, and we'll see what it tastes like, because I found out a couple other things when I was doing the hops thing. I covered it with a lid during the boiling process, and one of the guys at work that's been brewing beer for quite a while now goes, oh, you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to let it open boil.
Now you tell me.
So, I'm hoping the QRM brewery is not going to be turned into the Skunk Works brewery. But
so
we'll see. T minus 1 week and counting for the fermenting part. Of course, now I don't know whether to count it from the Friday that I actually brewed the beer or the Tuesday that I added the new.
Hey, Josh. Yeast.
Hey, there's Josh. There goes Josh. No.
Josh.
Well, remember, he's on a 15-minute delay. We're waiting.
And we're waving.
He's frozen.
Is he frozen or is he just
standing frozen.
Still?
He's frozen. Either that or he's holding very, very, very still.
Yeah, it says he's joined the group. What is going on with him? Maybe he can't handle the hangout with extras?
He should.
I like the hangout with extras better than the normal one.
It has more options. I haven't figured out how to use them yet. Yeah, oh, there he goes.
Oh, jeez. He's having a heck of a time here trying to get in. Again, fun with technology. Let's see.
Why is that not working?
You are now. Okay. Oh, I can chat with him, but he isn't in the group. He left the group. Oh, come on. Maybe we should try Skype.
I can do that.
Yeah. Let me text him.
All right.
Yep. Oh, that was his last one. Okay, we are moving to Skype. Let's see.
Why is this not working?
Let me start up Skype here.
Oh, I know what I'm doing wrong. Okay.
Always fun. You'd think we'd have all this stuff all worked out before we start the show, but you know what? Before the show, everything works fine. And then we start the show and everything goes to hell.
Everything is good. Audio's great.
Yeah. You're video's fantastic. Great. Your video's great and everything. Boy, you should move down there.
Well, no, it works pretty well from the engineering office or the EMS office as well.
Okay. Let me try to get
him. It's a little closer. This is 465 miles from home here.
Let me call him. I'm going to do Skype.
All right, I'll bring Skype up. Hopefully that won't screw up my hangout.
It's going to
come up in my business account, so I got to switch right away.
He's not there yet. Oh, was that him? Oops, I think I just hung up on him. Let me call again. Okay. See you there. Okay. So much fun here on the podcast. Yeah, maybe I need to cut some of this out.
Your call has been really forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
I don't want an automated.
4.
God, come on. Hey, you know, it's kind of interesting that I can run both of you guys at the same time. One on Hangout.
Is that working?
Yeah. Can you hear? Can you hear the...
Well, I'm hearing something.
Can you...
Let's plug back into the other.
Can you hear me on Skype?
I'll tell you in a second.
I'm going to call it.
Okay, my Skype connection's up. Why don't you give me a call? Worst that can happen is it can all crash.
Or it can echo like hell.
I could do that too. It should really relinquish and switch over.
You know, Skype's changed about 15 times since we last used it. I don't know how to.
Yeah, it has. In some ways, I think it's a lot better. I used to have to hit the plus button and add me.
Oh, you can, oh, is that what? They made it easy.
Yeah, it's actually somewhat intuitive.
Wow, that's a change. Send contacts. Add people to conversation. Ah.
Yeah. And I am logged in, so you can go ahead and add me. I'll see what happens.
I'm trying to find you. Are you virtual Uper on here, or are you Mike?
Yeah. No, I'm virtual Uper.
Okay, so you're all the way down.
If you sail the bell buoy.
Oh, I see you, Mike. Oh. No, well, it's got your name.
Okay, that's fine. Just the bell buoy.
Sure, let's try. Can I do a video call with two people?
Oh, jeez. At the same time with hang up?
Yeah, let me just call. I'm calling you both.
Hey, there you go.
Dingy.
Where are you?
I'm on Skype. I'm on Skype. And my BlackBerry's ringing because I got a Skype call coming in.
That's me.
Hello.
Who's calling? Oh, it's coming up on my... Oh,
jeez.
Oh, that low-sounding thing is because I had Skype up on my PC. I'm like,
you got a nice echo here.
The freaking thing's running all over the place.
I know. My BlackBerry's going. The computer's ringing. You're calling me on both of them. I'm thinking I can't answer the phone.
Let me.
But this,
Hang up. I'm going to hang up here, okay? Let's see what that does to my Skype connection. Hangout is still running. I've got video of you on Hangout while we're doing Skype.
Yeah, you sound funny.
Yeah, well, I'm getting an echo from something. We're on. I think both connections are live.
They are.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they are. They're both live because I'm getting group video calling now. Another screen jumping up in front of me.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, I'm going to end the Hangout.
All right.
Okay. All right.
There you go. The Hangout is done.
Hangout is done. And the audio quality improves right away.
I know. Actually, you sounded better on Hangout.
That's because Skype was competing with Hangout for bandwidth. Now we probably should reconnect the Skype connection.
Okay.
Yeah, we should. Let's okay.
You gonna call us out?
I'll call you guys.
All right.
Okay.
Bye. Fun with Skype. Okay. Of course, now I don't have either one of them. So let's see. Oh, I can just pick them again. There we go. And make a call. There we go. We're on Skype tonight.
Put it to an automated voice message.
No!
What?
Four, one, three.
Another thing, you don't hear that everywhere. Let's give out Jash's phone number to the world.
All right, but you're there.
Yeah, I'm here.
You're there, and your voicemail answered.
Oh, shoot. Skype was on my BlackBerry. Hold on, I got to shut it off on the BlackBerry.
I see my audio is about to improve.
Yeah.
Okay, testing.
We're about 15, 20 minutes into the show, and we haven't even...
my video will stay on. Now. Oh, very much so.
Yeah, Skype came up initially in the microphone mode, which is why Hangout was working, because the microphone on the MacBook was working on Skype. The microphone on my mixer panel was working through Hangout.
It says I need a subscription... If you want to do video,
yeah, you gotta.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you just want to do video then?
Yeah, because it's only 1-to-1 is free now because Microsoft owns it.
Right. Oh, that's right.
They are discounting it now. It's I think it's $4.95 a month for Plus.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but that's more than free.
Yeah, but you only need one person on Plus for it to work. So I may see. I'll talk to my corporate people, see if they can give me a subscription.
Yeah, that would be nice. Because this is definitely, we got to boost. Josh, you're having issues with Hangout for some reason. I don't.
I am having massive issues with Hangout.
Hmm. Are you still on the Dell, dude? Yeah. You got a Dell? Yeah.
I'm not on the laptop. I'm on a Dell desktop, which is got more memory and a faster processor than the laptop.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that should be okay.
I mean, this is working great. When I dumped out for, I don't know, the 38th time tonight, I actually, before I thought of jumping back in, I went to do a quick update for Google Talk plugins, because I keep getting an error message saying Google Talk plugin has become unresponsive. Do you want to close it? Hmm. And that window pops up about every, I don't know, 5-6 minutes.
Yeah, that's your problem.
And I keep hitting cancel. However, this is the first time it's ever shut me down this much. I mean, repeatedly.
What browser are you using?
I tried it with Firefox. I tried it with Google Chrome. And I actually took Safari out of this. Actually, no, I never put Safari in this machine. But I think I should. It works better.
Okay. Well, Michael and I weren't having any problems whatsoever. So it's definitely you need to get a... more up-to-date machine somewhere down the road.
If we
want to use Hangout. Otherwise, Skype seems to be working fine.
Yeah, Skype's working beautifully.
For now. Wait a minute. Let me knock on wood.
As I say, this is the same machine we use for our home phone, the Skype phone.
Yeah.
And it works beautiful.
Yeah. You sound good. So, well, we already did the first topic. Quick summary of it. Brew is once again good. You weren't on the last show. Last show, yep. I was concerned because I wasn't getting bubbles out of the airlock. consulted the brewmasters, and they said throw another pack of yeast in. So I did that and got bubbles for 3 days straight. And in fact, it might be still slightly bubbling now, which is right on target. So the brew is back on schedule.
Gotcha.
So another week of fermenting, then bottling time comes, and then another 2 weeks in the bottle, and we should be good to go with the first brew.
So, all right, nice.
Yeah, and definitely have you over for a sampling. And can I send beer through the mail?
I don't think so.
I used to be part of the Beer of the Month Club, so... And I used to get that in the mail. Yeah.
But from where, though? Was it inside the state or was it across state lines?
It was across state lines.
Oh.
I don't know. Because I'll have to send you, Michael, you a couple if it's good. If it's skanky, I won't.
Would be the problem of shipping it, too. Yeah.
I'll send him skanky beer and say, come on, be honest, Michael. How did it taste?
Well, I'll tell you that.
Good.
And just to let you know, you will hurt my feelings if you...
As long as I'm holding my nose, it sounds good and it tastes great.
Okay. But it works great on my compost pile. Anyway.
So anyway, we're going to the next topic, which was, again, mine. The Mac Mini is dead. Long live the Mac Mini.
What? I thought your personal Mac Mini.
Yes, the Mac Mini, my personal Mac Mini. Anne-Marie was using it, and we had a problem. It's only got an 80-gig hard drive on it because it's an old one. And she, every so often when she's browsing the web, the Firefox and Chrome both do it. They just... use all the space you've got and you know, all the memory you've got. I've got 3 gigs in there, but then it starts going over into temp files for
swapping out,
and that fills up the drive real quick. So she has to reboot it. Well, she rebooted it and nothing, just got a white screen. And so then I got home and, you know, I was trying to boot it, nothing, and I tried to reset the EEPROM because I thought maybe that's the problem. Still nothing. However, so I threw in my Snow Leopard disk and held the C down, and I was able to boot off the DVD. And so then I got into Disk Utilities, and I said, well, it's probably the hard drive's shot, because who knows how old it is. But I went into Disk Utilities and checked it out, and everything said it's okay. So I tried to reboot again, and nothing. I would just get the white screen. Could boot back into the DVD. So to make a long story short, I decided to reload Snow Leopard on it. And I did that. There was no issues. It seemed like it went right on to the hard drive with no problem. Came to the reboot. White screen again.
Uh-oh. So now, see, you scared me because, I mean, I even went to an Apple store this week. My first time ever.
Well, you
I walked into it.
Well, that's the rest of the story. If you went on the right day, you would have seen me there because Anne-Marie can't do without a computer. So I plopped down the bucks and got another Mac Mini. So she's got a new Mac Mini with a 500 gig hard drive in it. And, now it's got 2 gigs in there, and but now they make it easy. They got like a screw bottom thing on there, so it's easy to put more memory in. I'll get memory from probably OWC because they have better prices than Mac does. And I can bump that puppy up to 16 gigs of RAM if I
want. Cool.
Holy crap. That's a lot.
Yeah. So, but it's got, of course, a faster chipset in it. And as a matter of fact, it shows up as, I don't know, I guess it's a 4-core. I don't know whether it's 4-core, but maybe it's 2-core, but it's got
it's virtual 4-core.
Yeah.
It's got virtual, the i5 in it.
Yeah, it's got the i5 in it.
Yeah, that's a virtual 4-core on that one.
Because it shows up with 4 CPUs, you know, in the metrics window. So it's running nice. And so I brought the other Mac Mini up here, and I said, well, I got one more thing to try. I had a spare external 500 gig hard drive. I stuck that thing in. I booted it up on the CD or on the DVD. I went ahead and loaded it saw the USB, the external drive. I went ahead and loaded up Snow Leopard on it, and boots on that fine.
Yeah, I bet you got a bad hard drive on there.
Well, you know, that's weird because it comes out and says it's good, but I'm wondering if there's something wrong with the boot sector on the drive that it's not detecting. I was wondering.
80 gig drive's not nearly big enough these days, anyhow.
That's what I was thinking about. I mean, it's working on the external drive. I'd rather have it internal, so I might go get another 500 gig drive or something.
Be careful there. I think if it's the same generation as my Mac Mini, I think 350 is your max. You need to look up what it's capable of doing internally.
Because I thought it was the same inside as my MacBook Pro. I'll look it up because I put a 500 gig in my MacBook Pro.
Yeah, when I maxed out, but I had an original Mac Mini with an Intel chip in it, and it might have been older than yours, and the max I could put in that one was 350.
Okay, that might have been the first one. I think this is the second generation one. This is the dual core?
No, I got a dual core.
Oh, you had a dual core?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just check it. So
I'll double check it and see what I can put in it.
Check something.
So, check.
Yeah.
Check. One check.
So, needless to say, this one now, and I just did this all right before I came on to do the podcast. So, it's sitting here, and not only that, but it's upgraded. I went ahead and installed Lion on it, and it's ready to go as the new machine up here. I mean, I'm still using my PC for recording, but now, if I want to play something, I can play things on my laptop. I think this is going to take over for my Skype machine and Skype machine because it'll be permanently up here. And, so, you know, I won't have to come up and set up my MacBook Pro all the time. I could.
Oh, that works.
It's
kind of convenient in a way.
Yeah. That way I have a permanent setup up here. And if the only time I have to bring my MacBook Pro up is if I want to play some extra sound effects or something, or I might just use it for sound effects, so because that would work out a lot better. So you know, we'll see whether it lasts, but it definitely is a dead quiet machine. I mean, you can't hear it. It doesn't make any noise at all. So we'll see. So that's my that was my tribulations this week on the beer and the Mac Mini.
I was going to say I never knew that a Mac could die, and you almost dashed my dreams.
Well, they they do. Well, they a lot of times they don't die; they just grow old and fade out, as in Apple no longer supports them.
That's too funny. They just fade away.
Yeah. So you were in an Apple store this week.
Yes, I was. I was in the local mall and happened to be perusing along, and I looked over the railing down at the, because I was on the second floor, and there's the Apple store. And at the, believe it or not, the coaxing of my beautiful bride, she said, well, why don't you go down to the Apple store? And I thought, no, I'm afraid to, because there might be a million things that I'm going to want. And quite frankly, I'm not prepared to drop, I don't know, something with 50s behind it. Not today. I haven't saved up that many pennies yet. And needless to say, she's like, just go down there. Let's check it out. So I crossed the threshold to what could easily become my new religion. And
and you got instantly accosted by somebody in a blue T-shirt.
Believe it or not, I did not. I was waiting for that because you gave me a heads up on the tactic, and I walked in, and they had a ton of the new MacBook Airs set up on the left hand side of the store, and the one thing that I went in there to really truly go look at to see if they had set up, I didn't find one, which was a Mac Mini.
No, they don't set them up for some reason.
They don't set that one up. I know. I went from the front all the way to the back of the store where they have, you know, the workshops, and someone came in here, and as I'm walking through there, a guy, a blue shirt, did approach, but was very, very kind and polite, and said, hey, I can help you find anything today. I said, well, I'm here. I said, right out the gate, perusing. I said, both my best friends are basically Apple fanboys to the nth degree. Both can write software and so on and so forth. And I'm still using what you guys would use as a doorstop as a computer because it's an IBM platform. So I just came in here. I said, I wanted to smell the store. And the guy looked at me and said, what? I said, I need to. I said, it's like Radio Shack. I said, the kid wasn't old enough. I said, but when you used to walk into Radio Shack, oh, I don't know, you know, in the 70s, early 80s, Radio Shack always had a smell that just made any geek, you know, just instantly giddy like a schoolgirl. You walked
like
in there and you see
resistance. Radio and you could smell those tubes.
Yes, you see the smell, and then you look on the walls and there's resistors and diodes and little packets and antennae and cables. And you know, you know. So I was looking for that same effect. And so I went in there, and honestly, I was seriously impressed. I played around with a MacBook Air. I thought that was cool. Looked at the MacBook Pros. Until I saw the price and went, holy shit, I couldn't afford one of these if I saved up my pennies for a couple of years. So hey, I have to be honest with you. Looking at it, they really did, you know, it felt good, trying them out. But, and I guess, you know, it is. It's bang for the buck. You get what you pay for. And I was impressed, but I'm like, man alive, you know. You start looking at these stickers, 1,100, 1,200, 2,700, and I'm like, 2,700 bucks? It better woo me like you read about if I was getting ready to spend that kind of money. But it's, I did it, and I now have a little penny jar set aside that I'm throwing. It's literally, it's called the Mac Penny Jar, and I throw my loose pocket change in it when I come home from work because that's what I'm saving up towards.
Yeah. Well, it's, did you look at I was in there, and I went in, and I kept saying, where are the new iPads? Where are the new iPads? And the guy said, oh, well, they're all over there. And I said, I've got to see one. And, you know, he kept me there for a while, and then, of course, he brought out the Mac Mini, and we had to pull it out of the box and make sure it worked okay and all that stuff. And by the time I was ready to go, it's like I walked right out the store. I said, ah, I forgot to look at the iPads. That's probably a good thing.
I didn't even go over there because it's, you know, after all these endless headaches of trying to podcast and you guys making fun of my piece of crap Dell machine, you know, I really went in here to look at a Mac Mini. And since they came out with Lion, and it doesn't support machines, was it 2009 or older? Mac Minis, I'm like, okay, you got to be real careful about buying a used one now because you may not be able to run the latest and greatest software. It won't be supported. So I just wanted to check one out, and of course that's the one that they don't have set up. So I was a little bit, you know, bummed. But yeah. It was the store smelled right. It really, really did. You know, I like the fact there's a million friggin' people there. What's the deal? Are they giving stuff away out back? Oh my God! There's like literally 60 people out back in workshops, all playing on their Macs and talking on their iPhones all at the same time, and it was like a club thing. I felt out of place.
Yeah, well, it is. You have to get initiated.
You know what? And here, the funny thing is I whipped out my BlackBerry, and one woman screamed and passed out. She's like, ah, old technology! Boom! Right on.
Going red in aisle two.
Exactly.
I'm not surprised that they all started. They all started raised their hands up, pointed at you, and opened their mouths and went, ah! Like the pod people.
Literally, I was waiting for
the iPod people.
you out of the store now.
You must leave now.
That's funny. Jeez. Yeah, well, you know, I went in, and I forget the guy's name already, but, you know, I found that because the same thing happens every time you go in there and you buy something is they do, they are trained to talk to you and chat with you and ask you how your job's going and what you do and this and that. And, you know, they just talk you up. They're really good salespeople. But, so, you know, I went through all that and, you know, told him we did podcasting and he was asking me why I used Audition over, I forget what their product's called. I can't think of the name of it right now.
GarageBand?
Not GarageBand, the other one, their professional one. Sound Booth? Is that it? No, Sound Booth is also, Adobe. I forget what theirs is called. I said, I've been using Audition for years now. I said, I know where everything is. It's just a perfect fit for me. I've tried all the other ones. I like Audition, you know. but we went over everything and, you know, again, you know, you can't just go in there in and out and buy something. If you're going to go in there, especially to buy a computer, prepare to stay there for about an hour because that's how long it takes. Even though they can sit there and ring you up on their iPhone and send you by email your receipt and, you know, or you can get a printed receipt. And then what I love now, especially since I got a Mac Mini, which comes in a small bag, but it's one of their, it's a fairly large product. They have a bag with drawstrings on it that make a backpack.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those.
Yeah, so you can be wearing your Apple bag on your back as you're walking around the mall.
That makes it easier for the thieves to cut it off your back and keep running.
Hey, follow him.
So,
yeah, no kidding.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you got into an Apple store for the first time, and hopefully the next time you go in, you can.
Am I even?
What's that?
I may even go back in again this week just to see, you know, play around a little bit more and see if I can't get accosted by salespeople trying to ask me, you know, so, you know, how's your job? What are we, friends? What do you do? How's the wife and kids? What am I, applying for a friggin' job? I'm just browsing. Shut up. You know, be my warm and charming self that I normally are.
Oh, wait. You haven't drunk the Kool-Aid yet. Let me get you some.
No kidding. But, yeah,
you're
right.
I tried to go to one yesterday.
What's that?
How'd that
go? I tried to go to an Apple store yesterday. Well, I never made it in it. I was doing some work in Wisconsin yesterday, and it got done early, so I decided I'd shoot down to see my mom a day early. And I was going right by an Apple store, so I pulled into Bayshore Mall, which is north of Milwaukee. Silly me, I'm thinking, oh, yeah, I'll just drop right in there. Saturday afternoon, Milwaukee. I couldn't find a parking spot within 3/4 of a mile of that store. And I'm thinking, well, let's see here. I've got 2 iPads, a MacBook Pro, a lot of electronics equipment, a week's worth of travel stuff sitting in my Jeep, and I'm in suburban Milwaukee.
Yeah.
This isn't a good idea.
A good idea.
Because I want to stop in and talk to them about the home key on my iPhone. And I still, it's about every 2 weeks now, but since I've gone to Lion, and Jash, you may want to cover your ears, but my MacBook Pro still locks up every 2 weeks.
Really?
No, say it's not so.
No, it must be something I'm doing. I'm holding it wrong. That's what Steve was saying.
Yeah.
It's definitely.
It's time for me to go on and talk to the Genius Bar, which is, there's the other thing. You can go on and say, I need help. And they go, oh, it's okay. All right. We'll see what we can do for you. So that's what I was going in. I was going in for some moral support. You know, tell them that I'd just driven 345 miles.
To get to the nearest Apple store.
To seek the nearest Apple Genius Bar. But I couldn't get to it. So I figured, well, on my way back, I'll be going up through the middle of the week. That'd be a better time to do it.
Yeah.
And actually, I'm down here to visit my mom and take care of. And I brought work with me, so I actually have no return schedule. Huh. I can actually program in the mornings and spend time with my mom. And there is an Apple store about half an hour from here.
Oh, that's
so cool. I may take care of that down here.
Yeah, you should stop in. You need to, definitely.
This phone is driving me nuts. Yeah. I have discovered, though, that are you aware you can calibrate your home key?
No, I was not aware.
Because it turns out I'm not alone in this problem. Various people are having problems from not being responsive to not working at all ever since they've switched to iOS 5.1.
Really?
Yeah.
What's going on with it?
Well, I don't know. That's why I want to talk to the Genius Bar about it. But I did find out if you bring up an original Apple app like Stocks or Weather,
mm-hmm.
then hold down the power key until the "Do you want to turn this off?" swipe bar comes up. Then you press and hold the home button until it'll cancel the shut off request, and it'll kill the app that you've got, and it recalibrates your home key.
Huh. What does that mean? Apple,
I'm sorry?
What does recalibrating it mean?
Well, it improved my performance 300%.
Really?
Yeah, it's working a whole lot better. It's not perfect yet, but it's a whole lot better. So it's time for me to go in and say, hey, I'm an Apple developer, and this is what's happened to me, and maybe you should just kind of unofficially, I know you're going to deny this ever happened, and I'm holding it wrong, but you still might want to pass this along.
Now, is this a 4S or a 4?
No, it's a 4.
Oh, okay, it's too late for them to give you a new one.
Well,
I had issues with my original iPhone 4, and I took it in, and they said, well, you're right. They just brought out a new one for me.
Well, it's got to be right. So it's a case of whether they'll support me or not. We're going to have to fix this.
Hmm. Well,
so we'll see. I'll let you know how that turns out.
And of course, the rumors are already running for the iPhone 5, which is due out this year.
Yeah, I'm kind of waiting on that.
One of the big rumors is it's going to have a larger screen this time.
How much bigger could it be? Oh my God! I mean,
no, they're saying, well,
yeah, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, thing is some of the Androids are coming out with larger screens, and people are liking them, so they're talking about not much bigger. I don't know, what's the screen size now? I'm not sure.
I don't remember.
Because they're talking about a 4.6-inch screen, so I'm not sure how much bigger that is.
Yeah, but aren't you out of the realms of telephone and now into the realms of Palm Pilot?
Why? Yeah, that's the thing that I'm concerned about too, is that
what is Leo? Oh, a phablet.
Yeah,
Leo
phablet.
Calls them phablets.
Yes,
so yeah. It's a phone tablet. A phablet.
Yeah. I'm concerned it might get too big because mine right now fits in my shirt pocket, and I can put it in a pant pocket if I needed to.
Right.
I kind of like it the way it is. Yes, it's it is getting taxing on my aging eyes a little bit. So I wouldn't mind it a little bigger, but not much bigger. Because then it's not going to fit in pockets. And
right.
And you might as well just carry around an iPad then. Speaking of which,
yes.
Michael.
Yeah.
What is this thing you talk of down here? Oh, and the iPad fire extinguisher has arrived.
Yes, I have a fire extinguisher, otherwise known as a third-generation iPad.
Because it's hot?
No. That goes back to my story about when I was on the chat group with Leo during the unveiling of the announcement there.
Mm-hmm.
When they weren't coming up with a name for the iPad, the chat room was more than happy to try to provide one on their own. And one party came up with iPad 2, spelled T-O-O. And then somebody followed that up with iPad Fire, go against the Amazon Fire. And I'm like, no, the iPad Fire Extinguisher as the fire killer. So,
it's funny that you call it that because, of course, HeatGate showed up this
week. 113 degrees, big deal. You ever try to listen hold on to your laptop playing Netflix?
I know.
No.
It goes into meltdown mode.
I know. It's all within specs, but there are Apple haters out there that have to bring up every little thing, and that's the latest craze. It got warm because
I was amazed. The iPad 1 and iPad 2, you could sit there and play Netflix for hours. It stayed cold.
Yeah.
Do that on a laptop.
Yeah. I know. It's got warm because you're playing,
you have to keep turning the volume up because the fans are going.
It got a little warm because you were watching a 3-hour high-definition movie on it, you know?
Jeez. Yeah. All the video on this thing. I agree with Leo. It's just breathtaking.
Is it?
And it finally has a decent camera.
Yeah.
It's got that 5-megapixel camera with the optics from the iPhone 4S. I was holding it up against my iPad 2 and just putting it in camera mode. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh, the difference. Just scanning around the room side by side with these things. Just awesome.
Mm. So do you think the new retinal display is worth an upgrade?
For me, yeah. Because I do lots of photography. I look at lots of stuff off the pictures off my iPhone. Although at this point, I think it takes better pictures than my iPhone. Although I look a little bit like a geek out there going, click.
With the giant iPad.
Yeah.
What, did you see what Leo was doing on his show?
He had the cover up over his head like a
He had the cover over his head and he was walking around with down the street. He actually walked down the street like
that. You need a piece of like black silk over that so it just covers your head like the old style camera.
And
the smart cover still fits.
I heard there's some issues with that too. Some of the Apple II smart covers weren't turning off the new Apple.
Oh, mine works.
The new iPad.
Yeah, I didn't buy a new one. I had an old one in stock, and I used it. Worked fine.
Okay, good.
It is noticeably heavier.
Really? Well, the extra battery.
Yeah, it's 2.5 times the battery power to maintain that screen for the same. It'll still. Well, I haven't tried to run it for 10 hours yet.
Okay.
So
10 hours.
Yeah, now I can walk better to the Apple Store and go, yeah, I've got a Mac Mini and a MacBook. And a MacBook Air and a MacBook Pro and generations 1 through 3 of iPods or iPads and iPod 4th generation and can you help me?
No, you're beyond help.
Oh my God.
So what do you do for a living, sir? What do you think?
Yeah, exactly. I'm a plumber. So
I work for Microsoft.
Exactly. Oh, that's even better.
I work for Brim.
That's too good. Oh, my God. I work for Brim. Oh, my God.
What else?
I'm surprised.
Huh? Go ahead.
No, I wasn't going to say anything important anyway. It's the Yingling talking.
the brew of the night?
The brew of the night is Yingling Black and Tan. I had a friend of mine went down to Pennsylvania, down to Pittsburgh, and he brought me back a case.
Does that have a screw top?
He gave me the cans.
Oh, okay, cans. Okay, okay. I'm looking for non screw top bottles. I thought I had a lot more up here in the QRM studios than I actually did. So I need two cases worth of.
Screw top beer bottles.
Non screw top beer bottles.
You went non screw top.
Yes, non screw top beer bottles.
We'll do our part and drink Sam Adams and send you the empties. Okay.
Okay. There you go.
I was going to say I got my beautiful bride is having a Sam Adams right now from the bottle. You want me to save them for you?
Please. Please. I need two cases worth.
Oh well, then I guess I have a goal for this week.
Yeah, believe me, I'm emptying out the beerator here pretty quick now. I've only got a week before bottling begins.
I'm sorry, honey, but Barry J needs me to drink 2 cases of beer this week to help out. So I'm forced to do this when I come home from work.
A 6-pack a night, that's all we're asking.
Take one for the team.
Oh, God. Well, the next topic on the list here was I had Michael and I, after the show, we started talking. I said, we should have talked about this during the show because I'm finding, and I don't know whether this is just kind of me talking about what Google's doing lately. Google, when it first started out, was good. It was the best damn search engine, probably still is, out there. Mm-hmm. It had, when they came out with Gmail beta, which was beta for years, to me, they just totally redid, email and Gmail was the best damn thing out there. And I'll even say that Google Maps are fantastic.
Yep.
And even Google Plus, they're doing a good job there, slowly but surely. It's a big thing, but I'm concerned that Google is becoming evil, because right now they're trying to merge everything together. And, so you've got your Google Plus account, and it automatically merges in with your Gmail account. And practically every other day, I bring up Gmail on the web browser, and they're adding some new HTML5 thing that's making it ridiculously stupid. You know, I like the simple old Gmail that you could read your mail, and you might get some ads over on the right-hand side that had something to do with whatever you're reading about. That was fine by me, because it was probably something I'm interested in, or I could totally ignore it. It just worked fine. It worked on any browser. But now you go in, and there's some new HTML5 thing popping up. Half the time, it doesn't work. I'm getting logged out of my Gmail almost daily now. I'll be sitting there on there, and all of a sudden, boop, it goes to the login screen. And it's like, why? And then it tries to log me in on one of my other Gmail accounts. And it's like, I didn't ask for this. And the Google Plus is over there, and it's now trying to access all my Gmail people on my Gmail list. And what was the other thing that was bugging me lately? Jeez, I had it in my head, and now I forgot it. God, there was one other thing that was really becoming a pain. Oh, just the fact that I'm running a Google Chrome web browser, okay?
Yep.
You would think all this stuff would run nicely in Google Chrome.
Nope.
It works.
Afraid not.
It runs a lot better in Firefox than it does in Google Chrome. And I'm sitting there, and I'm in Google Chrome. I've got Google Plus up, which is tied to my Gmail account. And I bring up the tab, and I'm on Google Plus, and I'm up on the black bar up at the top, and I pick Gmail, and it opens a new tab for Gmail, and then it says it doesn't know where Gmail is. Now,
interesting.
You're Google. You don't know where your own Gmail thing is? it's just, to me, it's going downhill. And then the Google search. Now they're specializing the search. Well, we'll go see what your buddies think about the topics before you give me the normal list that I used to get from Google search. And we'll go check out what Google Plus is saying. Instead of and then we'll list stuff afterwards. And it's like, if I want to know what the guys on Google Plus think about a certain topic, I'll go to Google Plus and I'll go search down there. I don't want it tied into my normal Google search. I want the old Google search back. Type in a topic, boom, gives me what I want. My opinion, and I'm ranting here, is that Google is becoming sloppy with their coding. I think they're introducing stuff too soon without testing it. And with them trying to tie everything together to be your one-stop shopping thing, it's just like it's not giving people what they want.
Right.
So I'm beginning to think I might go check Bing out for search.
Interesting.
So I don't know whether any of you guys have had issues with Google now, but the old days of Google are gone.
Well, I did have a freak out moment today, as a matter of fact. And by the way, I'm kind of attributing this to the Larry Page factor. He's making some changes over there, and I'm kind of watching to decide whether I think they're good or not. But so I've got this brand new iPad fire extinguisher here, okay? Mm-hmm. It's never been synced to a computer. I load in, and I don't know where this came from, but I load in my user ID, my Apple ID, and I load in a couple of apps. And I bring up Safari, and I start to type in a website for something. And you know how it, once you've been on a device for a while, it pops down your recent searches that match up?
Right.
It popped down all the recent searches on other devices that I'd done Safari on. There was a complete history that showed up. Really? On this device, I had never synced to anything.
Really?
I'm like, holy crap, where'd this come from?
Wow.
I don't know if that's an Apple thing or a Safari thing, or, I mean, I do have iCloud on, but I didn't know anything about iCloud, you know, syncing search histories.
I'm not sure. It might.
I mean, the bookmark cloud sharing is on by, but that came on by default. I didn't have it turned on anything else. It just happened to turn on when I, you know, I forgot to check to see if it was on or off when I turned on the cloud. But that freaked me out. I mean, I've got nothing to hide. I'm not worried about it. But I was like, holy, wow, where'd that come from? That kind of help I don't want, you know?
Yeah.
Right, right.
Well, that's I don't know. You know, and it is getting scary that all of a sudden it seems like all your information's being shared across clouds.
Yeah, well, you know, I trust Google far more than I trust Facebook, who's now trying to take the high ground, by the way. I don't know if you've got this in the notes about, you know, you saw the news story this week about the employers trying to force job applicants to give them their email and passwords.
Yeah. Passwords, yep, yep.
Why don't you just give us the key to your house and let us rifle through your drawers?
Really?
Exactly.
And any safe deposit box while you're at it.
Yeah. Well, one thing I've often found, and I've had this personally happen to me, you know, where you're speaking with someone and they'll say, oh, well, how do I find you on Facebook? And I don't have a Facebook. I don't Facebook. They looked at me like I literally had the plague. Literally, it was, what do you mean you don't have a Facebook page? I said, I don't have a Facebook page. I don't want one. And they said, you don't? No, I don't do MySpace and I don't do Twitter. And they said, oh, my God, how do you keep in touch? I said, anybody I want to talk to, I call them on the phone or I email them. But literally, I was, you know, you're like odd man out if you don't, you know, literally don't have this Facebook. I won't buy into the Facebook craze. I'm not interested. All I hear is horror stories now. But, you know, anyway, that's enough about my tirade and rant about them, because we all know how I feel about it anyway.
Yeah. Well, no, you've certainly got a point there. I still wouldn't be on Facebook at all if it wasn't for my son. That's why I came back. I would prefer. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, on the very same note, I mean, exactly with what you're saying, if we didn't use Google Plus, or the Google Hangouts, and I said this to my wife earlier this week and last week, and I'm sure I said it the week before, if we didn't use it, I would cancel and close my entire Gmail account, or Google Plus, and the Hangouts, and the Circles, and all that other bullshit. I would have a Gmail account, and that is it. And that's how much I hate social media. I really, really, really do.
Well, the only reason why I'm okay with Google Plus, and I think they do it right as opposed to Facebook, is they let you control what people see, and you know, you have complete control over it, as opposed to Facebook, who they claim, oh, you've got all the control there too, but I don't know. They seem to be giving up information left and right on you, or they give you something new that's automatically turned on until you go and turn it off. And I don't like that. At least with Google Plus, they say there's a new feature out there. You need to go turn it on if you want to use it. So I think Google's doing the right thing that way. You can be as public or private as you want. So out of all of them, frankly, I think Google Plus, that's why I said Google Plus, I think they're doing it the right way. They just got to work on their Hangout stuff so that, you know, Josh can stay up for more than 2 seconds.
Good one. Good one. Well, as soon as I get an Apple, doesn't Apple have their own version of a Hangout or something that you guys used to tell me about?
Well, they do have Facebook. Or Facebook. Yeah, FaceTime.
FaceTime, yeah.
Can you do multiple sessions on FaceTime?
I don't know. Never tried it.
I'm trying to think because they did away with their chat, their iChat. FaceTime.
Oh, really?
Yeah, FaceTime took its place. So I'm assuming that you can do more than one connection on FaceTime. But that would be something we'll have to check out because I'm not sure about that. So
interesting.
So while we're talking about, and of course, Twitter, to me, Twitter is just, you know, broadcast to the world. So I watch Twitter I get more news from watching Twitter faster than what the mainstream media can give me. And you get all sides of it too.
Right.
So, but speaking of that, we might as well, I'm going to bump up a topic since we're talking about privacy and all that stuff. And there's a new app that came out right now. It's just on the iPhone, but it's called Code Runner. And Michael, if you have it there, why don't you, it's about a, this was a video and this is a soundtrack to the video. You'll get the idea.
I don't know what was happening in terms of hacking.
A campaign to collect passwords of email account holders.
We have paid the police for information in the past.
Welcome to the new era of privacy. All of your private data will be locked away on secure government servers.
Now the government protects my secrets.
We're not worried about it.
The Department of Privacy. Your privacy is our business.
Radio check. Put your headphones in now. This is a private transmission. You have been recruited as an undercover agent for the Department of Privacy. That dot on your map is you. Listen to me. I need you to tap Barker's phone by hacking an antenna to your north.
Is anybody else sitting right now?
Find the person who took the data.
This is Blueprint in position. Standing by.
You're approaching the electrical box. Cut power to the security. Trust me, we're the good guys here. Here's all the dead drops in your area currently. Upload those files to any drop. Keep an eye out for surveillance. Create a dead drop of your own. Go, get out of there. Gotta love technology.
So that's the soundtrack to the video. You can go to Code Runner. I've got a link in the show notes. But it's a new app, and I downloaded it on my iPhone. And basically, it's kind of like a spy thing, except for you've been recruited by the Department of Privacy.
Yeah.
But
is that an oxymoron?
But this is kind of a cool app because it's a... You don't sit still. Basically, what it does is it uses the GPS on your phone. It actually shows you maps. Of course, it's all kind of cool spy type things, looks like. And you put your headphones in. It doesn't work unless you have the headphones in. And the guy comes up and says, you know, okay, we've got you on the map. You're right on here, and it shows you where you are. And then all of a sudden, it goes, okay. This place has been compromised. Yes, it's been electronically compromised. You need to get out of there now. Move now. And then, so you have to go on a walk.
Okay, Morpheus.
And you start walking. And they said, okay, you're far enough away now. He goes, and then they'll put a dot on the map somewhere. And he goes, okay, you need to go up to this spot. This is where the guy they're looking for was last seen. Go up there now. And so you go up there, and it goes on with like dead drops, but they're kind of like geocaches, except for the dead drops are kind of electronically done. Now I'm out in the country, so you can't find a lot of things. The more the people play in your area, like in a city or a busy suburb, this would be, I can see where this would be really cool, because as people are doing it, they're creating dead drops, and you go up, and what you, I created a dead drop. I went up to a telephone pole, basically. I snapped a picture of the number on the pole, and that became the password, so if it's used by somebody else, they go up to that dead drop, You got to punch in the password, and then the game will tell you, okay, now you're going to download these things, and you download different topics, pictures, and things like that. It's kind of a cool game, and then you got to transmit them up, and then they send you on another thing and try to follow this guy, but the guy always seems to disappear by the time you get there. But it just takes you on a wild goose chase, kind of like like your geocaching, or even if it wasn't made for the country, but it's definitely, I could see if you're in the city or the busy suburbs, this could get cool because other people can create drops. They already have drops built into the game in busy areas. And the main thing is you're not just sitting on your ass playing a game. You're actually running around on this game. It's kind of like the first time I've seen an interactive game where you've got to go actually physically do something to play the game.
I love it. I'm loading it on my iPhone right now.
And the guy who's
it
the main
requires
guy,
GPS though, so you can't use it on a non-GPS iPad.
Right. Yes, it requires a GPS. It's best to use your iPhone. It's really made for the iPhone because you got to walk around with it. And I took the dog for a walk yesterday to try it out, and it's like I was starting to get into it, you know. But like I said, I'm out in the country, so it says, okay, this guy was last seen at this hotel, and and it's got a dot on the map, and so I'm walking up toward the map. I said, you know, I'm on my road, and it's nothing but houses, you know, and woods. He goes, as I'm approaching the dot, I said, there's no hotel. He goes, okay. It looks like it's not really a hotel, but he's stopping here anyway. So he's got some kind of excuse for the what it is. And okay, if that's not the hotel, why don't you go find the nearest hotel? And again, well, I'm not getting in the car and driving to the nearest hotel because I live in the country. But if you're in a city or something, you could probably find a hotel by, and they may know where all the hotels are. So it would be interesting to take this thing and play it somewhere, you know, like I said, with a population. I don't think it's going to do you much good in Copper Harbor.
Well, there's a couple of us with iPhones in Copper Harbor, so okay. I'm thinking about it. It could be pretty cool.
But it's the guy who's talks to you and everything is the guy that used to be on, he used to be Dr. Tiki on the Tiki Bar podcast.
Ah, cool.
That's the guy who's...
Awesome podcast.
Yeah. And so it's Dr. Tiki. And he and a few other people are developing this game, and I can see some potential. I this thing could grow. But the whole idea is you're not just sitting on your ass playing a game. So it was kind of cool. I liked the idea. I think the concept is really good. And there's a link in the show notes for it, and I would recommend it. Go check it out. Right now it's only for the iPhone, but I'm sure.
Right.
They'll get it on other platforms soon.
Sooner or later.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I wonder if they make one for Rim.
So what was the story? Is your work sticking with Blackberries?
Oh, right now we're in a never-ending vortex of trying to find out and get a straight answer. As it is right now, we're still stuck with Blackberries.
Oh, that's a shame.
And so if and when the powers that be decide to say, okay, we're going to roll all this out and convert everything over. And they were having issues with they were saying something as far as a disaster recovery. So everything on your iPhone, if it needed to be... updated. In other words, if something major happened and it crashed and they had to update everybody in the company's iPhone simultaneously, how are they going to do that and not exceed a certain memory size? And they were cheaping out, basically. I didn't want to pay for the room. So, we'll see. Right now, it's good old faithful doorstop.
As long as they stay in business.
Exactly, exactly. And realistically, it's, I mean, I hate the thing, you know, my this crappy BlackBerry, and it mutes me every time I'm talking to someone and I hold the phone next to my ear, which is typically where you put the telephone when you want to hear the other person on the other end, as opposed to putting it in your shoe. But the minute you hold it to the side of your head, boom, it mutes me and hangs up. And, you know, you got to love it. You just, you have to. Otherwise, I'd go crazy. But, yeah, that's about the speed of that one. What else is going on? I upgraded my internet service.
Yeah, so, I saw that. It's an interesting way of doing an upgrade.
Well, I don't.
Oh, two. Know, all right. I was reading it backwards. Okay, no, I thought you were being facetious there.
No, you know, exactly. I went from, I started off originally with 1.5 meg download, and then I upgraded to supposedly with our fastest, which was 3 meg download. And then I called them this week, and I said, hey, my internet's acting fluky. I know you, Barry J, were having some issues too, and I started having some issues, huge latency issues. I couldn't stream. And I went, are you guys changing a switch? Perhaps because my internet, which used to work pretty flawless, is real shitty right now. So what are you guys doing? He said, oh, we just changed actually a couple of the circuits, and we now have available 7 meg download. It's always set, was it 768 up? But it's that won't ever, 768, was it KB?
Yeah, probably 768 would be KB. I got 1.5 up, I think.
I'm 768 KB up, and they said that I can't make that any higher, but I got 7 meg down.
Oh, that's nice.
That's so nice. I'm like, okay. And I said, so I said, okay, what's the catch here? How it's going to be another $30 a month? They said, no, $4 more a month to go from 3 meg to 7 meg download speed. And I'm like, sign me up. And I have seen a huge difference on my Roku. I mean, you go click on the Netflix and boom, when I watch a show. I mean, it's in seconds, it downloads a high-def television program. Where it used to be, you know, 30 seconds, 45 seconds, you'd watch the little red bar go across the screen. Now, 10 seconds, bang, it's in and it's playing. Works real good. I'm impressed.
So you're getting seven meg down?
7 meg down.
Okay, that must be the middle plan.
What?
That must be the middle plan. Because I am currently getting 17 meg down.
17 meg down? They told me 7 meg was the max that was available in my area.
It says my
Well, it may be in your area, though.
Yeah. Although I live out in the country. He lives... Because I've got 1725 KPS right now, which, you know, count three up, that would be 17 meg.
Have you done a speed check on it, Josh?
I want to do it right now. Go to what's myspeed.com? Is that it?
Well, I'm of course, what I'm looking at is the gate. I'm looking at my my gateway. I'm on the server, or not the server, the you know what I'm talking about. The router.
Yeah, I know. The router, exactly.
So I'm getting 17 down, and I'm getting 1.18 up.
Okay, let's see. Test my download speed. I'm not looking at the router. I don't remember my damn router's address.
It's probably 1.1.
Hold on a second. I'm actually going to go out to another website and see. Test my download speed. I'm curious. Because, like I said, I definitely see a difference.
It's going to be hell testing your downstream or testing your.
Yeah, well, I'm doing a podcast.
Well, here you go, digital for a second. But the other one I use is Speakeasy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, Speakeasy is a bandwidth testing service that keeps changing ownership like every 6 months.
No kidding.
Now it's part of Megapath. At one point it was owned by Best Buy.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. Okay, I'm trying it right now, so let's see here. Of course, everything else I'm doing is deducted from the actual bandwidth.
Yeah, I'll try it too. We'll all try it.
Yeah. Speakeasy. Is that it? So speakeasy.com? Is that it?
Yeah. Oh, speakeasy.net. Speakeasy.net. Oh, speed test. Just type speakeasy into Google.
Yeah, it's the first thing that comes up.
That's, yeah, I get one meg up here at my mom's house.
I'll check the Washington, D.C. And there we go. Speed test.
To welcome to This Week in Speed Test.
And
speed test. Good speed test.
Oh, I can tell you when you're doing the upload test.
Right. Okay, so while we've been sitting here streaming,
yeah,
and I did a test and I got 4.97 MIPS download and 0.90 MIPS upload to Washington, D.C.
All right, I'm doing a New York, testing download speed right now, which is shit. Hold on.
I bet you your wife's doing World of Warcraft.
But she's actually streaming right now on Netflix, watching Stargate.
You're doing an upload test right now.
Okay.
No, I am.
Yeah. I just did. So 1.59 MIPS download and 0.50 MIPS upload.
Okay. Now, I just did New York, too, and I got 10.8 MIPS download and 0.91 MIPS upload.
Jesus, how come I'm so slow?
Well, part of it is everything is currently running.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to do it when nobody else is on.
Yeah, if your wife's watching Netflix and you're streaming.
Yeah, I'm streaming.
You're using all your bandwidth.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, yeah, try it sometime when she's not on and see.
You know, and TV's turned off and all the cell phones aren't on auto upload and blah, blah, blah. And actually, at any given point, there's three computers talking on the Wi-Fi. Right. Well, two.
But the nice thing I like about DSL, and everybody says, oh, but it's slower. And I said, it's slower, but I'm not sharing it with anybody.
Right.
And if you go look at peak time when you guys are on, when you're trying to use your thing or watch a movie when everybody else is trying to use Netflix on the block,
yeah, good
as
luck.
You are. You know, I bet you I beat you speed wise. So
I believe that. I believe that 100%. And without to mention they cap you. You know, so a lot of companies will cap your download. I've got friends of mine that are downloading, you know, all kinds of stuff off the net, and after a while they slow you down, and then they slow you down some more, and then they start to charge you over a certain point because you're hogging up their broadband line.
Wow.
So I'm like, you know what? In my household, that would kill me because we watch, you know, get the internet TV, mm-hmm. and that's always on, so that's a constant streaming. You know, at least two computers are on the internet at any given point. I'm thinking, hell, they'd end up sending me nasty gram saying you're burning up all the broadband for everybody on the street because I got three computers running on. But so that's why DSL is the only way for me to go. I don't have to worry about sharing. But anyway, enough of that.
Well, Michael, I'm going to cue Michael for the next topic, which I just moved up. Michael? Something else came out
this week. You should have it.
Came out this week. Play a little bit of the theme here. Now you should recognize the theme. Yes. Angry Birds in Space. Remind me to add echo to that later.
Yeah. I like my pigs in space.
Wait a minute. I can probably do that. Wait a minute. Okay. Angry Birds in Space. There, I can do it live.
It does look different. I haven't had a chance to play it yet. I downloaded it just before the show.
I downloaded it a few days ago on both the iPad and my iPhone, and it's like a different game. It's really cool. I gotta admit, because you're basically dealing, they've got like orbs around planets, which are supposedly the edge of the where the gravity field starts, and you slingshot in, and of course you can go into an orbit and you try to get the pigs on the other side of the planet. And if you go in too steep, then you just kind of go in and fall to the ground. You know, but you got to really do some calculations. But it's, and they've done a great job on the graphics. They seem to be a lot better this time with the graphics too. It's, but it's like a completely different game now. It's not your your typical Angry Birds.
All right.
So it's, well, I recommend it highly. It's well worth it, and you'll be spending yet another billion hours playing Angry Birds again. But yeah, it's and it, it's great on the iPad too. I don't know if I played it on the iPhone yet. I know I downloaded it, but I, but the iPad, it's well done for the iPad.
Yeah, I see there are two separate versions. So you have to pay for it twice if you
do
that.
Yeah, it's going to cost you a grand total of, what, $3-4 $4 by the time you're done if you want to get them both.
I'll start out with the I've got the iPad version. I'll start out with that.
Yeah. So, but, yep. The, and huh. Rumors are that the Angry Birds movies...
now we're getting a little silly.
Well, you know, if they made it a cartoon... I think it could be fun. It could be fun.
Okay. So, okay.
You know, we'll see what they come up with. Oh, speaking of movies, I saw a trailer for Dark Shadows. And
oh, really? Oh,
the remake?
They're doing it. Johnny Depp plays Barnabas Collins. Okay. And I said, how Johnny Depp cannot play Barnabas Collins. He cannot pull off Barnabas Collins. Guess what? He can pull off Barnabas Collins. He can. The you know, the makeup they put on him and everything. And I guess the premise of it, it was weird because it started off real dark and gloomy, like Barnabas, or like Dark Shadows and everything.
Yeah.
Like the old show used to be. And then I guess the premise is, of course, that was back in time. And the premise is it's now in the 70s. And I guess somehow the family gets back to Collinwood, and they find Barnabas's coffin, and of course they didn't show everything, but you know, he's now part of the family or whatever. But some of the stuff, and I don't know how this movie's going to be, because it's real mysterious and everything. But then they got him walking into a room, like, and somebody's watching TV, and they go, "What is this box with this some deity ghost thing in it?" You know, and he's going around and attacking the back of the television set and everything. And it was kind of like almost like one of the Brady Bunch movies, almost with him dealing with being in the 70s. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. I'm not sure when it's coming out, but the trailer's out for it. So, and I don't have a link for it, so you'll just have to Google it, consult the Book of Knowledge. If you type Dark Shadows in, it'll be right, take you right to the trailer.
Interesting. It may be, yeah, if it's got Johnny Depp in it, I can definitely. Definitely say my beautiful bride will be dragging me to the movies to go see it. So I'll let you know. what do we got here?
Okay. So the next topic as we go through is NASA. Is, well, actually, it's about the SpaceX. SpaceX is a private corporation, and the first private capsule is going to go up to the space station. It's targeted to go up on April 30th. So this will be a first, the first commercial venture. And I don't know the capsule that they have, and I've got a link into the show notes here for the story here. And oh, don't show me an ad. Come on.
Really? Don't you love it?
I am really getting tired of these ad things. I just want to read the freaking... Oh, continue to cite. There it is. Okay. It's actually in Forbes. I'm trying to remember the name of the capsule that they built. It's in here somewhere. Oh, the Dragon. It's called the Dragon. And it's a capsule. It kind of looks like the old Apollo 11 or Apollo series capsules, except that it can be configured for either cargo or people. It can take up to 7 people. And so it's pretty interesting. It's an interesting read. If you're interested in this stuff, go check it out. The link will tell you about the launch to the ISS, and then from there it's got a couple links where you can go over to actually SpaceX, and they'll explain everything about their capsule. But I guess this is a good thing since they cut the budget on NASA. So if NASA's, Mr. Obama's not going to let us go into space, and hopefully the commercial folks can make some money sending up supplies and people and whatnot. So that's going to be a first. So, and the next topic
should be interesting.
Yes. The next topic, we're back to Apple, but just had to say, should have probably mentioned this up further, but as we all know, the iPad came out a couple of weeks ago. Well, the 16th is when you could actually get it. That was a Friday. And in that weekend alone, Apple made $1.5 billion.
I gotta love capitalism.
On the iPad. They sold over 3 million iPads in one weekend. They made $1.5 billion. So I guess if you make a good product,
yep,
that's what happens.
They will come. People will flock to go get it.
And now, another Apple story. What else? We should just call this Late Night Apple. Apple is looking to hire some VoIP people, Michael.
Yeah, I've got to look into that.
And there's all sorts of, they're wondering what's going on. They think they may offer their own VoIP service. And that would be kind of interesting when you've got to deal with the phone companies all the time. I don't know how the phone companies would feel about Apple going into the VoIP business. But, it'll be interesting to see what comes up of that. And maybe they'll start their own network.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to know when is Apple going to become its own ISP?
I don't know. I don't know whether they will.
Seriously. I mean, think about it. All the loyalty of so many of the Apple fans out there. And I say that respectfully because of the good product, the good hardware, software that actually works with the hardware. At some point, everybody who's got hardware out there, and for that matter, even software, is dependent on a very small conglomerate group of internet service providers in the continental United States, or the North America, for that matter. So when is one of these giant mega corporations going to turn around and go, you know what? Could it be financially viable for us to put our own cabling, our own fiber, and actually give people the option to be an ISP? I'm waiting for it. It's either going to be Google or it's going to be Apple.
Google's already actively doing that in the Midwest. They got permission to go ahead. What were they in, Kansas City, or I forget where it was? One of the towns, they experimented and put in fiber to everybody's house. And supposedly they've got the go ahead to continue with that work. So Google has in the past years, 10 years or so at least, has been buying up a lot of dark, what they call dark fiber, which is fiber laid but not used.
Mm-hmm.
So they definitely could potentially start their own network.
Yeah, it's Kansas City, by the way, that started out.
Kansas City? Okay. So Apple's building. I don't know whether Apple will ever become an ISP, although they are building data centers. But I think that's mostly for iCloud, and it'll be interesting because Apple's been going around talking to content creators. There is thought out there that they want to create the iTV that they want to come out with would be their own like network of shows.
Really?
Yeah, but it would be their network, and you could watch anything anytime, kind of like what I always imagined TV would be down the road. Whereas, it's not so much what time is my favorite show on? It's when is my favorite show become available? Which we're almost there now with Netflix and the Roku boxes and even Apple TV. And I think it's just a matter of time where we have an all internet network there that's going to be mixed with live and on demand products. And Apple could pull it off. So I think that's what they're going for. But we'll see. We'll see. So Michael, you're thinking, speaking of Apple, you're thinking that WWDC is going to be on the 11th to the 15th of June?
Well, I'm thinking that from the pure scientific reason that it would be the worst week for it to be for me. So that's probably when it's going to be.
Have you gone to WWDC before?
No, I haven't. I tried to make it last year, and we didn't have the PO in place in time, and it just sold out in hours. So after that, the PO has been in place. I have the company credit card number ready to go as soon as I hear the announcement. But as you know, I'm going to Podcasters Across Borders, which is the 8th through 10th in Ottawa.
Well, you can still make it.
It was probably actually it might be easier for me to get there from Ottawa because Ottawa is the Silicon Valley of California anyhow. Mm-hmm. So what is probably going to happen if my prediction is true, the great Karnak. if my prediction is true, I'm going to be driving to Ottawa for Podcasters Across Borders. Then I'll probably fly from Ottawa to San Francisco for the conference, then fly back to Ottawa to get back to my Jeep, in which case, if I can convince, as a friend of mine calls, the wife unit, if I can convince her, I may just drive east and come over and see you guys since I'm already there,
Yeah.
It's only another 7.5 hours from Ottawa to you. So I have to see how things go. And,
okay.
I know Chris wants to come out, so I'd rather arrange it that way, and I just got to see what the schedule is. But, since I'm going to be somewhat in the neighborhood.
Yeah, sure. That would be cool. I've
got to try out that brew,
Yeah, I was going to say, it'll be about ready.
That'll be about when it's ready. At least the next batch, because we're going to drink the first one.
Yeah.
Even if it's skunk.
The next batch might be done about that time if I get ready to brew another batch right after I get free up the container here with this batch, which I'll probably do. Try something different. So anyway, that would be cool, and then definitely that would be neat if you can get to go to WWDC, because I'm sure your boss would like you to go there.
Yeah, they want me to go. They weren't really happy that I missed it last year, but we all realized that we need to be faster on the queue. So
yeah. Wow, they should be announcing that soon, shouldn't they?
They should be, and I'm possibly going to go to Google I/O this year as well. But looks like they're changing that. I know they proposed doing a coding test as part of the online registration.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. since the word has gotten out that Google has a tendency to give away equipment to the attendees, they want to find some way of sorting out who a programmer is versus somebody just looking for free stuff.
Oh, that's true.
Right.
Excuse me. Wow. Okay.
So my Java skills are a little weak, but I'm a little rusty on the Java, but I can do it. I think I could get by their entrance exam.
Yeah. Well, it's a Google entrance exam, though.
Right.
I've heard they have tough interviews, and exam. Well, they test you. Well, they test you when you want to go work for them too.
Well, yeah, they're looking for PhDs right off the bat.
Yeah.
I've had that conversation with them.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, you've got the patented voice over internet, but do you have a PhD? Are you kidding me? No, we're not kidding. Well, screw you then. If this is the way you think, I don't want to come work for you.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much the end of the conversation right there. Now, that was the real thing right there. It's like, well, you don't have a PhD, Mike. I'm sorry. So the 13 patents have nothing to do with this, right? You don't have a PhD. I've got this checklist. Yeah, they'd already gotten so big that... You get somebody in R&D who would talk to me, it'd be a different story, but I'm dealing with HR.
Yeah, you're talking to an HR hen. Exactly. You're talking to an HR hen.
I have this checklist. You don't fit out the checklist. I'm sorry. Everything else looks good, but you don't have that PhD. Sorry.
They don't basically, they don't know how to do anything aside from organize, you know, an outing and, you know, free company T-shirts and health insurance, and they manage to screw that up. And so when they're actually doing that pre-interview, you could tell them the recipe on how to make homemade mac and cheese. If you use big enough words, they wouldn't friggin' know. You know what I mean? Nine out of ten of them, whether it's coding or, you know, robots, robot language, it doesn't matter. You know, you got to realize, I'm talking to someone who's more concerned about, does she have on the right trendy shoes to blend with the other girls across the aisle? And if she doesn't, what kind of ridicule than she does about the job that she's actually interviewing you for, which, because she doesn't care, you know, or he. I've run across the he's as well.
Yeah.
You know, they walk around with a superior, snotty-ass attitude. And it's like, you know what? You're stupid and pretty much, if you weren't coming to work tomorrow, it probably wouldn't matter. But without programmers, this place stops moving. And I've realized that about a lot of these so-called interviewers.
Yeah. Yeah. It's incredible. At least with our company, they actually get engineers to interview people. But you got to make it into the door before you get to talk to these.
Exactly. The it's that foot in the... Yeah, the foot in door. I was part of the engineering interviewing crew on multiple times. And... It's one of those scenarios where you hear what you read the notes from what one of the HR hens would put down, and you go, you're an idiot. You know, it's eggheads that actually make the world go round. It's the thinkers, you know, and most of them aren't. Work in that department.
Yeah. Jeez. All right.
That brings up another subject. It makes me wonder, have you guys ever noticed if you go to almost any, well, not any, but a lot of engineering departments, that's where all the real colorful people work, the ones that you enjoy working with because they're a little bit nuts. It's just been my observation over the last 20 plus years that they're usually also the rowdiest bunch over every other department and every other company. I don't care if you're making widgets, sneakers, or writing code. It's the guys who scream and bang their heads on the walls, and their offices or their cubicles look like, you know.
Yeah, they have the theme cubicles that just are out
it's
there.
I've looked at it, and having been in that and are being in that realm, you know, the guys from upper management and every other department, they get to engineering, and the first word out of, why does your area look like a shithole? Why are there books open all over the place and parts of computers laying everywhere and pieces of things and, you know, and a half-eaten ham sandwich sitting on top of a, you know, it's literally.
Have you been in my office?
Exactly.
I won't say what company, but I have a story. I mean, I've been into a lot of cubicles that were eccentric.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
But back from my previous life, engineering life, I went to go visit a customer. And the cubicles were colorful. But when I went to go meet with their R&D manager, mm-hmm. I have never seen anything like this. I walked into, because they actually had an office.
Right.
And they supported themes. I walked into this office, and the guy literally was dressed like a knight. And decorations in the office, there were these fake marble columns. And he had these, you know, fake torches on the wall that were the light for the room.
Oh,
and it was like he was in a castle. looking around, and they were serious. That's the way his office was set up, and he was dressed the part. He kind of left there, and you're like, he gets results. We don't argue. He gets results.
He gets results. Exactly. Just let the crazy people do what they need to do, so long as at the bottom line they get it done.
Yeah, I won't say what company, because there's probably an NDA in there somewhere I'd be violating. But it was that was the most bizarre experience I've ever had in my life.
Wow.
Engineering-wise, anyhow. And I thought, it was cool. And the fact that they actually gave him the freedom to do it. It was like, he gets results. We don't argue.
Don't ask me how did I get from A to C or A to D. Just know that I'll get there. Leave me alone and let me do my own thing while I'm doing it. You tell me when you want it done by.
Yeah. I mean, compared to that, I guess the rest of their don't ask, don't tell policy has got to be easy. You know? Alternate lifestyles, no problem, as long as you can do your job.
Really? Jeez.
Too funny.
Oh, man.
That's too funny.
I can't say we go that far, but, you know, in my day when, was out in Dilbertville of Cubes, and you know, being one of those people, we have a group of software people, and you're coding all day long, you know, every once in a while, you know, you crumble up balls of paper and get your rubber bands and stuff, and then start bombarding the next cube over or whatever. Incoming!
Oh, I have a rubber band story for you. You just brought up a memory. Back in my days of Zenith Data Systems, we had an engineer two cubicles over who was just a deadly shot with a rubber band. And I won't say his name, but... he is Iranian, which was funny in itself. This was back before, back then he could joke about it.
Yeah.
It was after the Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan incident and the embassy and everything. But he would walk around imitating Tweaky. Beady, beady, beady. But in his Iranian accent. And he would go home and, you know, this guy's just a straight-laced engineer. And you could tell when he was going home to visit his parents because he let his beard grow for like 2 weeks. And you get nice and scraggly, and he goes, oh, yeah, I'm getting ready to go home and visit my family. I can't do the accent, but he's like, no, get on the plane, death to America. And he, oh, welcome home, brother. And, you know, and he'd go home and visit his family and get on the plane. And while he's, you know, going to the bathroom, and he'd shave and put on his white shirt and tie and come back off the plane, beady, 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 see the engineer. So, anyhow, but this guy was just a deadly shot with a rubber band, and he could nail it from across the office. And I'd had enough of it after about 6 months. So one morning I came into work extra early. Uh-huh. And it's an engineering department. So, and we're doing hardware design. So you're familiar with the tubes that ICs come in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, you cut those things down to size and you put a notch in one side and you thread the rubber band. You thread the rubber band down through it.
Yeah.
And the spot where the anti-static pin goes through to keep the ICs from falling out.
Yeah.
Oh my god! It's a perfect clip, trigger.
If you put a paper clip through that, it's a perfect trigger mechanism. I set up like 24 of these things in his cubicle, and I set it up because the first thing this guy did when he walked in I don't know what his family did, but the guy was loaded. He didn't really need to work. He had this huge wallet. So the first thing he always did when he came into work is he took this wallet out of his pocket, opened up his center desk drawer, and threw the wallet in.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So I spent a lot of time focusing these IC tubes towards that desk drawer from every angle. And I had pull strings throughout the entire fishing wire, you know, a fishing string throughout the entire cubicle. So when he pulled that drawer open, about 24 paper clips were dislodged from their holders.
Oh, no.
Hi, Michael. And then there's this dead silence. And he looks in my cubicle and he goes, You. I nominate you for Junior Iranian Terrorist Guard.
So funny.
Oh, geez.
Totally off the cuff story, but you just got me remembering that.
I don't know what I want to do.
Those tubes are ideal for setting up rubber band guns.
Yeah.
And the aim is perfect on those things.
You know, I've used those for blow guns at work. You know,
oh, yeah.
You know, because you get these bent up, mashed up ICs that don't go into a dipping circuit,
by the way.
What's that?
Yeah, somehow we segued.
Don't try this at home. That's the kids listening. You know, all one. You know,
with the idea, this is late night QRM for right, one, right. And two, it's a bunch of middle aged guys talking, so there's not going to be any teenagers listening, or not many. And then thirdly, they still have to get a hold of an IC tube, which let's just say you're not going to find one sitting on the shelf at Walmart unless you're electronic components. But I used to use those with some bent up or wrecked ICs or outdated part numbers, and you'd be able to take the very same thing where you remove the ESD stop pin so they wouldn't slide out of one end. And then I basically use a series of duct tape, and then you know the air blow guns that you put on the end of the airline for high pressure air. Well, I ended up taking one of those and rigging it up to one end, and it was probably, no word of a lie, it had to be about a 50 or 60 foot shot. And I shot an IC across the production floor and hit a guy right in the middle of the head, which I was impressed with the shot, but he didn't see the humor. At 110 pounds per square inch, and literally was able to trigger that. But I didn't think about using rubber bands. Thanks, Michael. I'm going to have to give that a shot.
Oh, boy.
How did you get these 14 puncture wounds in the side of your head that are perfectly lined up in two rows?
Exactly. What, do you got chips on the brain? Literally, yes. But
have a chip on your shoulder.
Yeah, literally, yeah. That's
okay.
Things you do. Yep. Yeah.
Well, you know what, guys? It's getting late. I don't know.
Yeah,
I have so. No long. How I don't know how long the show is. Because
hour, 29 minutes and 21 seconds so far since you started the Skype call.
Right.
Okay. And we started before that while we were waiting for you to get online. So it's gonna. Sorry. I've got 1 hour 59 minutes, and. Since I've started recording, so this could be a long one. So anyway, Michael's erasing the last.
Well, I thought we were done. I still remember it.
Go ahead, talk about it. There was one last topic on there,
and hit the
undo button.
Does that work in Google?
I don't know.
Let's see. Undo.
Yeah.
I don't see you making any changes.
Oh, there we go. Okay. Yeah. That works. Okay. Cool. So I got here early. You know, I was actually not planning to arrive until today. So on my way down after aborting my attempt to go to the Apple store, I called my mom and said, "Hey, guess what? I'm going to show up early." And she goes, "Oh, cool." She was doing ushering at our local opera house in town. And if you've seen the movie Groundhog Day, you know what the opera house looks like and the brick square that everything is on. And she goes, "Yeah, I'm ushering, but there's a band playing you might like, and it's does live jazz and ragtime music." I'm like, "Well, that's kind of cool." So I went. I had a great time. Now, remember, I have my ARP card. I seriously brought down the average age of the audience when I arrived. They were playing music from the 19-teens, the 1920s, and 1930s last night, and it was awesome. And then my 29-year-old brother-in-law was with me, so between the two of us, we must have brought the bell curve down quite a bit.
Wow.
But it was awesome. Seven band members, and everything from original stuff from the 19-teens to theme songs from The Sting and such. So just had a great time. This little opera house brings in talent like you wouldn't believe. Now, these are mostly local musicians, which is, you know, no slur on them at all. They're fantastic.
Right.
But a month ago, Judy Collins played the place.
Nice.
Great wow. Greg Lake from Everson Lake and Palmer is coming. Cool. And this place suits, sets maybe 300 max.
Oh,
it's a
cool.
Nice small venue. So yeah. It's a great place. If you're in the Chicagoland area, you know, check out the Woodstock Opera House schedule, because they bring in some really good acts. It's something you can afford most of the time.
Yeah, sounds neat. I like that kind of stuff, especially with a small audience like that.
Yeah, the acoustics are great. Yeah. Just nice old-time playhouse. So that was the note I almost erased. Okay.
So when you heading back home?
I don't know.
No specific date, huh?
No, sometime before. I got to be home by Friday night so that I can drive my son to the bus. He's going to Disney World to play in the school band in March at the Magic Kingdom on spring break. So yeah, that's really cool. So I got to be back for that. But otherwise, I need some time to actually visit with my mom. I haven't been here for a few weeks. So I brought work with me. I can actually program in the morning and spend the afternoons with mom. And I've got some cousins out here that I actually haven't seen in probably 19 years. So I'm actually, we've been trading. One of the few benefits of Facebook is I've rehooked up with them on Facebook. And we're like, you know.
Right.
We understand every time you come down here, it's, you know, you don't get to see your mom much, so that's what you're doing. But we really should get together sometime and catch up. So we're going
to try. Yeah,
definitely. That's cool.
Well, that's neat.
So it's an open-ended trip.
That's the best kind to have.
And I am not scheduled to work next Sunday either.
Oh, very good.
So I should be around.
Cool. So
that'll be neat. So we'll plan on another one this time next week. So we do have a musical guest for tonight. If I can scroll down to see it, it's Rick Harris and his song Mysteria. And with that said, we want to thank all the military members out there, both foreign, doing service overseas and, here, domestically, keep doing what you're doing.
Absolutely.
And, we're always thinking about you, and, especially you guys overseas. We hope to see you home here with your friends and family real soon. So
yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So from the southwest corner of New Hampshire, I'm Barry J.
I'm Josh.
And from a basement in the imitation city of Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, I'm Michael, the virtual Uper. On the road. You're a roving reporter.
You're a roving reporter. That's so cool.
That's great. And we'll see you all next week. We'll see you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Samson, speak. Good boy.